Okay, we'll get started this morning. Let's get some scriptures out. Brian, if you can get Mark 9:30-32. Then Antonio, if you'll get Mark 9:32. Nathan, if you'll get Mark 9:28-29. Get John 6:63, Casey, if you'll get that, John 6:63. 2 Kings 2:9, right, if you'll get that. And then James 4 and verse 6, get that. Okay. All right, so Pastor Greg, when I was a disciple, he would often encourage us to ask questions. He'd always tell us at breakfast, after prayer, does anybody have any questions? I remember maybe a few serious men's as a disciple where he would do entire lessons on asking questions. And I remember him often applying this idea. He said, you need to ask questions because one day when you are out and people ask you questions, maybe about our doctrine, or maybe they ask you about the liturgy of our service, how we run our services, or maybe even when people challenge you, right? Every now and then you're going to get people that aren't necessarily religious and you don't want them there, but it's, you know, they could be a potentially good convert. They're going to ask questions and challenge some things. How come you do this way? How come this is the way you guys approach this, etc., etc.? And Pastor Greg would say, you're going to get those challenges. You're going to get those questions. And you saying, because that's what Pastor Mitchell said, that's not going to be enough. Right? And so the asking questions is very important and very important part of your discipleship and your future ministry. And so I want to minister to you about the importance of asking questions. That's the title of our serious men, asking questions. Mark 9:30-32.
Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him.
Okay, they were afraid to ask him. Let's lay a foundation. Let's think firstly about the fear of asking. One of the difficulties with many men is this innate resistance to ask questions, right? And we can often even make jokes about it. Men, they don't ask for directions, right? That's not what men do. Men, they don't ask for help from anyone, right? You have people, they're marriage is falling apart, and they're not going to ask a question. You have people, their finances, they can never seem to get ahead, but they're never going to ask a question about it, right? Because I don't ask anyone for help. Men, many times, right, they don't need instructions. Your wife orders that IKEA box, and you don't need instructions for that, right? So this is kind of this stereotype. But it's something, the reality is we're all going to need help in life. There's an old quote that says, learn from the mistakes of others, because you can't live long enough to make them all yourself. Right? This is why asking questions is so valuable. It can save you from future problems. It can save you maybe from disaster. But for many, the reason they do not ask questions is because it comes back to the issue in our text. It's a fear issue, right? It's a fear issue at work. Mark 9:32.
But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask.
Okay, again, they were afraid to ask him. The Greek word afraid is phobos or phobeo, where we get our word phobia. There's a fear to ask questions. We understand fear in life, it paralyzes us. fear will freeze us up. So in the context of asking questions, fear stops questions. Fear hinders us from asking questions. So what are some of the fears that men can have when asking questions? Number one is the fear of opinions. You have people, they are worried about what other people will think about them if they ask a question, right? What will pastor think, right? You ask a question, you don't know that. And we're supposed to send you out, right? It's like, that's how we think the response is going to be. But what do you mean you don't know the answer to that? Right? And sometimes you'll ask a question and Pastor Greg will answer with a question. Right? It's because he wants you to think. Not because he thinks you should know it. It's he wants you to think and wrestle it through. But this is a fear. Is what will people think? What will my brethren think? Right? There's some guys, they could have a question, but they're worried about everyone else around them. And, you know, what are they going to think? Man, you dumb, right? How did you not know that or whatever? And it's funny the way that scripture flows, right? If you were to look at what comes after this, they were afraid to ask. They're afraid to ask what they don't understand. But then the very next story, they're afraid to ask questions, but then they're arguing about who's the greatest, right? So here's the things. We don't have a clue what Jesus is talking about. We don't want to ask about it. But let's think, guys, who's the greatest here? Let's get to the important stuff. Who's number one disciple, really? Right? And so here it's this fear of opinions. Others, they will not ask a question because they fear rejection. If I ask questions, then people won't have confidence in me. They'll reject me. Pastor will look over me and look at someone else. Because if I ask a question, somehow I'm not going to be fit for ministry. Or, right, it's this fear of rejection. Or the guys, they're going to mock me. It's a fear of rejection. Others, it's a fear of responsibility. In our text, think about this. Jesus is talking about the cross. There's no, you know, gray mystery here. He's telling them, this is what's going to happen. I am going to be betrayed. I am going to be arrested. I'm going to die and rise 3 days later. Okay, he's talking about this. This is God's will. But here, when it comes to God's will, some people do not ask questions because now that means they're responsible to live by the answer. Right? So here they are. Jesus is talking this talk. He's going to die. He's going to rise the third day. We don't want to be accountable to that. We don't want to know what the cross is. We don't want to know about that part. Right? In their minds, they want to keep Jesus, the political leader who's going to establish his reign on earth. They're looking for them to triumph over the Romans, not to go to the cross. And so what Jesus is describing to the disciples, it doesn't sound secure, right? It doesn't sound easy. It doesn't sound enjoyable. And so they were afraid to ask, right? And sometimes that's the keys with discipleship. There's men, they have questions. They don't want to ask them because they don't really want to change things, do they? They don't really want to get serious about their calling. Asking questions, now I have the answer, now I'm responsible to that. Right? We hear stories about pioneering or takeovers and different things. We don't want to ask questions about it because we don't want to be responsible for that. Because we're afraid it will not fit in with our plan or our idea for the future. And so here, this is that fear of responsibility. Fear will hinder questions. And some here, that's really the bottom line. Whatever area we looked at, it comes back to you are afraid to ask. So let's think, though, secondly, about the benefits of asking. The truth is the disciples They often learned the most when they asked questions. That's when they learned the most. Again, the flow of Scripture. So here, they're afraid to ask, and then they argue about who's the greatest. But before they were afraid to ask, the story before that is Mark 9, 28 through 29.
And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting."
Okay, here is a lesson, a question and an answer about spiritual power and spiritual authority. Here's an incredible need, a desperate need, and they are unable to cast out a demon. And so here, Jesus, we've seen some incredible miracles. We've witnessed some amazing things. Why is it that it didn't work this time? Why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus gives them the answer. And so, but think about this. Incredible revelation flows from that story, but the revelation flows from a question. Right? Understanding and wisdom, insight into spiritual matters flows from a question. They asked a question at the feeding of the 5,000. What are these among so many? What is this bread and this fish? How on earth is it going to feed? And Jesus says, "Let me help you answer that question." And we see incredible breakthrough. The disciples ask Jesus, "Can you teach us to pray?" John teaches his disciples to pray. "Can you teach us to pray?" Right? And so here, a lot of things flow from questions. This is the benefit. So, for us, let's think about the benefits of asking questions. Number one, the first benefit is you're going to get information. Right? Part of an answer to a question is maybe you're going to get some facts. Maybe you're going to get some advice. Maybe you're going to get some understanding or things you didn't consider before, and that's going to be beneficial, right? That's going to be helpful. Sometimes I remember calling Pastor Greg, and when I'm in the field, and I'd write down questions, Q1, Q2, Q3, sometimes all the way to Q15, right? Question, and then under that, A1, A2, A3. So I could go back, and so here, he'd give me information. I'd have notes of answers for my questions. Or he'd give me keys of wisdom. Or he'd give me sayings that had helpful information that is going to help you, right, in your situation, in your ministry. But it's also going to help you sound really smart. Right? Is that... You need wisdom in life. You need to learn from people who've learned before you. And so here you're going to get information, and we need that. There are some things we need to know. There are some things we need to gain some understanding on, and that's the informative part of it. But the second part of asking questions, the second benefit is, not only do you get information, but you get impartation. Words are the way that we transfer who we are to people. Right? You have numbers of cups here. How do you get the coffee, right, from the main source? Right? You got to pour it into a pitcher. How do you get from pitcher to a cup? How do you get it from there? The counter to here is from the cup. So here, words are how we transfer our spirit. Words are how we transfer what is in us into someone else. John 6 in verse 63.
"It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life."
Okay, here Jesus makes this very clear. My words are spirit and they are life. Right? When Jesus speaks, he doesn't have to speak a whole lot. but so much of who he is, and the spirit that is within him is transferred through his words. And that's what makes the Bible so unique. It's not a book of words, it's a book of life. Words of life. And so Pastor Mitchell has said for years, your words are spirits. And this is the scripture where we get that idea. You minister what you are. Who you are is going to flow into other people. How? Through your words. And so here, when it comes to asking a question, again, yes, part of that is informative, but the second part of that is you are going to get who your pastor is into you. You're going to get his spirit. You're getting beyond just information, but an impartation. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9.
And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me."
Okay, here what? Here, the story of Elijah, Elisha, discipleship. What do you want before I am taken? That's what Elijah asks his disciple. And his disciple says, a double portion of your spirit. Do you want a portion of what your pastors are in your life? Do you want a portion of impartation of who they are to flow in your life? Then you need to ask questions. That's the only way you're going to get that. And that's what Elisha received. And that's what we need. So the words that we get from our pastor, number one, right? The words we're going to receive from him are going to be mainly through sermons, right? So when you're in a sermon, as men, as disciples, you need to open your heart in those sermons and get an impartation of your pastor. Sunday school, right, is a teaching, an instruction. You know, when your heart's open and you're attentive, there's an impartation. Serious men, right? We already know how this works, right? Pastor gives a study, and then we open it up for questions. So here, you're going to get an impartation. As Pastor Heinberg said in Pastor Greg's video for his birthday, we go out so much more prepared. I can't tell you how many times in the field it's like, there's a serious man for that. I remember. And I go to the binder, right? And as I'm in the binder of flipping through it and looking for it, I can find an answer, right? And there's so much in you. Man, this right here is so incredible. When I'm in the field and I've talked to guys all around the world that ask me about, you know, what a serious man, and I've heard about that, and you tell them how it flows and their jaws drop. It's like, I never would have thought that. And explain to them, it's informative and it's impartation. And then ultimately, what we're talking about specifically, questions. Every chance you get to ask your pastor a question, you will get more than just information. You will get impartation. So let's close. Let's think about revelation here. This is the third part. The third part of the benefit of asking questions is revelation. God's design for the church is a pastor. That's his design. So, I didn't give this out, so I'll just read it. Hebrews 13, 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account." So, think about this. God's design for your discipleship is an authority over you, a pastor over you. Right? So when we fall in line with God's design, when we submit to our pastor, when we submit and surrender to God's design, blessing flows from that, and it's revelation. Again, when I ask a question of Pastor Mitchell or of Pastor Gray, I got information, I got impartation, but then I got revelation. That means you see things clearly. The more questions I asked, the more the Bible became clear. The more questions I, and it's not just Bible questions, I'm talking anything I could think of. The more questions I asked, the more revelation I received. And so if there is a lack of revelation in your life, in your salvation, what is your relationship with your headship? Have you opened your heart to Him and started asking questions? These are the three benefits of asking questions. So let's close. Let's think about aiming to ask questions. And then we're going to look at some keys here on how to aim to ask questions. Number one, if this is going to be your aim, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to be willing to acknowledge that you don't know everything. And can I tell you? That's okay. I guarantee Pastor Greg doesn't think you know everything already. Right? And so here you're going to have to humble and ask. There's a quote that I like to use when it comes for asking for help or asking questions or etc. is asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. Okay, it's not like pastor is not going to look at you and think you're weak or how do you not know that? No, it's a sign of wisdom. You want to know. You want understanding. You want insight. You want revelation. You want to expand your ministry in some way. Ask questions. James 4 in verse 6.
But He giveth more grace, wherefore the scripture says, God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble.
Okay, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That grace is going to involve those things we talked about, impartation and revelation. Secondly, is you're going to have to be a thinker. Questions, yes, they require a thought process. Right? Sometimes, and I remember sitting at these tables, right? Pastor Greg would do a serious man, and are there any questions? And I think to myself, I think you covered it all. Like, what else can I ask? You hit everything. But these are deliberately not fully developed thoughts, serious men, so that you'll ask questions about things, leaving room for that. And so you're going to have to think, okay, on the topic, what don't I know? What do I want more understanding on? What do I want to know? Right? You're going to have to be a thinker. Right? Any chance I get, I'll ask questions. Any chance I get, any opportunity. Sometimes there's things, even now in this season, there's things. Why did you do that way? Why did you approach that way? How come? Right? Whatever it is, because I want to know. And that has unlocked incredible breakthrough in my ministry. So you're going to have to dedicate yourself to questions. Right? You're going to have to dedicate yourself. So right now, my challenge is for you to come to this table with questions. Every serious man you're here, and again, you're not going to have a question every time, and that's not, oh, they didn't ask a question. Oh, what's going on with them, huh? You know? That's not what we're talking about. But challenge yourself. I want to ask more questions. Right? And then there's others, they stop once they get out. To me, that's very strange. Only because I learn, right? The first year or so of ministry, and I only asked questions when things were about to blow up. Right? And that was, finally I was like, why wait that long? That's just dumb. I'm so stressed. I'm so frustrated. Right? No, I'm going to start asking questions. After that first year in Santa Fe, I started asking questions. And you know, not once did Pastor Greg say, didn't you already ask this? Didn't you already cover this? No. Always help. Always practical. Always helpful. And especially, man, people, we talk to folks and pastors and different about the Rochester Church and the takeover, and it was a really difficult thing. Be like, man, that is a credit to your ministry. And I often tell them, well, it was God, because it was a lot of prayer, and Pastor Greg, because it was a lot of questions. Right? But through that, man, think about that. An entire work was salvaged because of questions. That's the weight of what we're talking about here, is that this is very important. So dedicating yourself to questions. My challenge here, again, is come to this table with a question. Pastor Greg avails himself. If you're able to come for morning prayer, he's going to sit in that corner. Come with a question. Men all over the world would probably give their right arm to have the opportunity you have weekly. That you have weekly to come and ask questions. You have access, right, to the leader of our fellowship. That's pretty amazing. Steward that. All right, very good. Are there any questions?
Covered it all.
Yeah.
Is asking questions just like anything that if you haven't been doing it, like it's difficult, but if you start doing it, like it gets easier, like it, you change the way you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, there was a, as a disciple, it was, I can't think of anything, you know, and I didn't ask a whole lot of questions, but then as I began, like you're saying, yeah, it got easier to ask questions because really it's you being a thinker. How many times do we hear Pastor Greg say, if you're going to be effective, you have to be a thinker, right? You have to think things through. And so that's what it really is. You're training your mind to think a certain way. And, you know, I asked everything. Why do we have reports when we have them? Why Sunday morning? Why before offering? Right? Why do we have, you know, how does the conference flow? Why do we do it that way? You know, I even learned some new things through asking questions about healing crusades, right? I found information I never heard before. I had asked Pastor Mitchell a question, and that unlocked it. And then Tim was here at that time, just visiting. And then we asked Pastor Greg some follow-up questions. Because, again, that's just how you train your mind to think a certain way. Yeah.
How do you get over that?
Well, again, discipleship, right, is, or whatever you're, let's just say this. Whatever the question it is, many times it could be just because we fear the change, or again, we fear the responsibility. Now I'm going to have to reorient some things, etc. But really, many times, right, God's already dealing with us. We know the questions we need to ask, and we need to have trust in God that it's actually going to be better, right? The more I started asking questions, and the more I began to recognize that responsibility to commit to whatever the answer was, yeah, I pulled back. That's a mark of my testimony and my discipleship. 5 steps forward, 3 steps back, right? Because I'd get afraid of the responsibility. But when I learned to trust, you know what? God has my best interest at heart. This is going to be better for me because God knows best, because His word is faithful and true. I learned to trust God and trust the answer, the godly direction. And it always worked out better. Yep.
Would you say asking questions accelerated your ministry?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There was a definite shift in Santa Fe, like I said, after that first year feeling just so stressed and overwhelmed. But when I dedicated myself to questions, yeah, like I said, there was not just information, but impartation and revelation, and it accelerated it. And yeah, absolutely. Going into Rochester, again, in a very unique situation, being able to ask questions and the confidence to ask questions made all the difference and even accelerated me even more. And because of that impartation and revelation, God gives grace to the humble, right? And part of that grace involves those two factors. Yep.
How do you get out of the habit of only asking questions when things are about to blow up? Is it a matter of thinking ahead, thinking things through, or?
Yeah, sometimes it is thinking ahead and thinking things through, but sometimes it's also, there were situations that maybe I dealt with something similar already, and I kind of, quote unquote, already knew the answer, right? But it's like, you know what? I'm going to ask again. And sometimes, because of the discernment of our pastor, it was a little bit different than the last time, and I learned something else, or something new. And so it's, again, it comes back to humility, right? I think I already know the answer. Well, it would get so bad, I clearly didn't know the answer, right? But then it was just a habit of, I might already think I know what to do, but I'm going to ask anyway. You know, problems or issues or little things like that. So, yeah.
Yes. So there really shouldn't be like this threshold where we say, oh, that's just minor.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, it is. Again, like I said, there were times where I think I'd know the answer. This is a minor issue, but I'd call him on it and give him the background information, and it was a totally different answer. Oh, wow. And that makes sense for that individual. Yeah. So definitely there's not a threshold of this is too minor or this is really urgent, you know. So, yep. Yep.
If you're a plumber, like you ask questions and you understand like what a pastor is, you can do, but the new convert doesn't understand that, they can go to you and Pastor Greg because you understand it every service, and they're asking you questions that you have no idea what the answer are. And like there's some questions you can look up and help them find or something, you know, or even like not guess, but you know, like, think through it with them. But there's some things that it's like very clearly like I don't have the knowledge to answer this, and you should go ask a pastor.
Yeah.
Instead of asking pastor, going back and forth and like talking to one of them, hey, this is what pastor said. It's like, how do you encourage them? Hey, simply saying, hey, they're over there, you can go talk to them. But they're just too timid to go do that.
Yeah, as you follow up on people, it's amazing how much they'll begin to act like you, right? Like I said, you minister what you are. So if you're open with your pastor and ask lots of questions, then that's gonna be a revelation thing, that you're gonna have to sit down and let me discuss with you the headship and the authority and the covering, and you know, and you should go ask him. It kind of flows naturally, really. Yeah, it kind of flows naturally. And then, you know, like you said, is sometimes there's these questions that I don't have the knowledge. Well, if you don't have the knowledge, do you think a newborn needs to know the knowledge? Right? Spiritual newborn? So there's certain things that you need to navigate, right? And just let them know, you know what? I don't know. We'll pray about that one, right? Because maybe they can't handle it, right? That's the point. Maybe they can't handle it. Right, as a couple of instances, I think it's Peter and Paul, they talk about, should be able to give you meat, but you still need milk. Jesus says, there's so much that I need to still tell you, but you're not ready for it yet. So there's certain things, spiritual newborns, they just can't handle anyway. So there's no need to even engage in it. Good. Yep.
So how do you handle when someone comes to you with a question that you don't have?
I usually just tell them, you know what, let me look into that. Let me see what the Bible says, and I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you'll
call? I'll call, yeah. Or, you know, sometimes again, when it's something that, it's just something they can't handle, something they just really don't need to worry about right now, then I just leave it. And, you know, again, it's not that, dishonest. But it's one of those things, you're just not ready for that. So why would I go and then come back with all this information that you're not even ready for? So, yeah. Very good. Yeah, and I would often, you know, tell people too, is let me seek counsel on that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that was one of the things earlier, like that first year, was, oh, well, yes, let me, and you start to try to talk it through, and then you're talking, and you're seeing their face. It's like, because really, you don't know what you're talking about either. But, you know, people appreciate, hey, let me seek some counsel on that. We'll get back to you. And sometimes, yeah, it was a call. So, yep. Good. Very good. Okay, so one of the things, too, I would encourage you is to just start, maybe on your phone or on your device, a note of questions. Okay, maybe there's a sermon. I want to know about that. You know, you can put that in your question notes. Maybe in your Bible reading, right? You read something. I remember Pastor Greg, you know, as a disciple, would come and he'd say, does anyone have any questions? Any Bible questions? We'd all be silent. Okay, so you all know the Bible that much, right? And again, it was just, it was fear. But yeah, in your Bible reading, things that come up, it may not even be major. Something, a word or a phrase or whatever. Write that down. Note that down. You know, ask questions about the history of our fellowship. Okay? There's so much that I know from asking questions, but there's a whole generation below me that's going to start disappearing, and we cannot drift from that. So we need to ask questions, gain that understanding.
Yeah. So I just want to clarify what you were saying before. So you would ask Pastor Greg stuff like, why do we, just the regular service stuff?
Yeah.
Why do we have the reports where we have them, as what you said, and why do we do conference, like stuff that it's like, it's just what we do.
It's just what we do.
But right? When you ask that, you learned the history of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it wasn't always like that.
Right. Why do we flow concerts like we flow them? Why do we do it the way we do it? Right? Why do we teach our altar call preachers to preach that way? Why do we, you know, just anything, you know?
So really, we could ask anything. Like, we could always have a question.
You could,
always something we could ask.
Yeah, but there was definitely a genuine desire to know as well, right? Just the other day, like I said, Pastor Mitchell, right? We didn't always have healing ministry in our fellowship. Really wasn't until into the 80s, which I thought that was interesting. And I said, Pastor Mitchell, what was it that triggered you to begin to look into healing? Because we only had a couple evangelists that operated in healing. And he said these words. He said, well, Greg started pressuring me on it. I said, really? He said, yeah, he started asking a lot of questions about healing. And in order for me to keep pace with him, I started looking into the Word of God. And then they started exercising this. Pastor Greg and all of his breakthroughs, he'd call Pastor Mitchell, you won't believe what happened. Finally had a breakthrough. And then he'd call, you wouldn't believe, I prayed for someone. And then it started flowing. And then the first healing crusades, they would have morning seminars. Right, and they got that from some old healing evangelist where they had these morning faith seminars. So Pastor Greg and Harry Hills would preach faith sermons. Harry Hills would minister in the gifts, and they would prepare the people for that night. They cultivated faith for that night. But it was this huge, like, you have to pump it up, right? Pump up the faith. But see, from that, we learn certain things to where now we flow a healing crusade like we do. We outreach for it. We advertise. We come together. We worship God. A quick sermon on healing, because that's enough, right? That stirs enough faith for the miraculous. But all of that you wouldn't know other if you just say, oh, that's just how we do it, right? People that want to come and ask you questions, right? When I took over Rochester... the church was left field. It was just totally not a fellowship church. And as I began to very slowly and graciously implement fellowship things, the questions started coming in, and because that's what we do isn't good enough.
So if you ask questions about why we do things, that would keep you from changing things.
Exactly.
Because people pressure
you know
you
the
to,
why.
Or the church world does that.
Right.
Because you know, like, we're not changing this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because there's a really good reason for
yes.
it.
Yes.
Really.
Good. Good questions.